I remember how you told me that life may not be easy, and everything that I need, you've already given me. I remember how you told me I can trust you completely. So why am I doubting when you prove that you fight for me? You've walked me through fire.
My friends, amen, because you're walking through fire. We're walking through fires, actually, because he's walking with us. Can you give me an amen to that? To give me a mic check to make sure this is hunky-dory? Because I like that song, because that song really ties into what we are going to be talking about tonight. Because, again, you know, a lot of times when we go through things, or we go through, like the song says, fires, we wonder, well, is the Lord with us during these times of trials and hurts and pains and suffering and everything else? And this is what drew me to this message here tonight, because, again, I've been noticing some things, and me and my friend, we've been talking a lot, too, about events that's been transpiring around us, and many of us cannot help but see what's been going on in this country, but also in this world. But we've been seeing a lot of things and happening in people's lives, too. And, you know, this was inspired because, you know, several of my friends I see going through this. And, you know, and I feel the hurt for them. I really do. You know, and I'm so distraught at times that I wish there was something I can do. And I can't. You know, and I sit here in agony, knowing, you know, I know the pains that each of us deals with because, you know, basically we've all been through it. And I question myself sometimes, and I do question God. You know, I say, God, why does this person have to suffer so much? You know, why do they have to have so much hurts? You know, and I was thinking the other day, actually this message, I wrote it a week ago, but the sermon was postponed last week due to some other unseen events that was taking place. But I was thinking to myself, Lord, with all of your power. You know, and I have to think about that because, again, we read in the Bible that God is the creator of this universe. He created all these planets, the stars and the heavens and life. And that's power. And I was thinking, Lord, you have the power to stop a lot of this. Why don't you? I'm not trying to put God on a pedestal. We got to be very careful not to judge God. We got to be careful sometimes with the words. But I'm just thinking me. I'm just thinking. If I had this power, seemed like I would interject or intervene on many people's lives. It seemed like I would, but I'm not God. So I was led to this, and I started compiling this because a lot of this was, you know, my own personal hurts. And many people's lives, you know, when we look at it, are full of suffering. We see it every day. So whenever we see so many people suffering and hurting and having pains and going through heck in a handbag, how do we make sense of all this suffering? I've been trying, and I'm still am, even till tonight, when presenting this message to you, I'm trying to make sense of this. How do you make sense of the sufferings of everybody that you know? Why does God allow suffering? Why does he allow the innocent and the righteous to suffer? When we see all this, we start to think, where's God when I'm hurting? Where's God when I'm hurting? See, I had a painful and a sad heart when writing this message after reading over the chat logs a couple weeks back, and I saw one of my friends that was heavily hit with hurt. They were laden with hurts and troubles. And then I seen this person being spiritually paralyzed by the circumstances. Her faith was greatly challenged and weakened. And folks, let me tell you something, it really broke my heart. It really broke my heart when her and so many that I know are facing the same trials and challenges. It breaks my heart when I see y'all suffer. It breaks my heart when I'm sitting here in my chair behind this keyboard, behind this screen, and I hear and I listen to your pains and your problems and your hurts, and I have nothing to offer. Can't do nothing. And when I saw my friend greatly hurt when I saw her faith being challenged and saw how weakened it was, how distraught she was, how everything just seems like it was coming apart, I kept reflecting on me, all of us, many others that we know. Where's God when all that's going on? And when I saw my friend so distraught, I so badly wanted to reach through the internet and hug her. I mean, hug her tightly. And let her know, look, it's okay. It's okay. I'm sorry to see you going through this. I wanted to lift her burdens and I wanted to solve all her problems. But of course, I couldn't. And what hurts worst of all, not being able to help. I'm not trying to stand here and act like, you know, hey, I'm some kind of goody two shoes that I really do care for you. Oh, yes, I do care for you. But as a minister, it hurts. It really hurts to see people having hard times. And I sit here and I listen to you and I listen to many other here in this town. And I listen to all the circumstances they're going through. My mind goes to the Word of God and I start thinking, well, what good is that going to do for that person? Sometimes I think the person says, yeah, right, Brother Jim. How's that going to help me in my circumstance? And I'm lost for words. I don't know what to say. Like I said, I want to hug that person. Squeeze her tightly. Wanted to lift the burdens and solve all our problems, like I said, but I couldn't. And like I said, what hurts worst of all is when I feel like I can't help. I have nothing to offer. So I went to the kitchen and I sat with my wife and I started talking to her. And we talked about it. I let her know because she keeps up with y'all, because I let her know. She watches sometimes. She never joins the room, but she knows. But I talked to her about that person. And all we can do is pray for her. And that's what we did. And even in light of what she and others may be facing in their walk with the Lord, we know of God's love for her. We know of God's love for everyone else. And we sat at the table and we prayed even more. And I'll talk to other friends, and all we can say, all we can do is pray. 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 And that's why I've led to this. So are you feeling overwhelmed today? Yesterday's gone. We're not promised tomorrow, so I have to reference this for today. Discouraged by complicated challenges that you face? Perhaps you have a friend who's nursing emotional wounds. There are so many hurting hearts in this world. So many burdens being carried by souls weary of the task. So many people desperate for a miracle from God. Desperate for healing and hope. And God knew we would struggle with difficulties, and in His Word, He lovingly points us to hope. He points us to hope. Back in the days of Jesus' ministry, a man desperate for a miracle, he approached Jesus and he fell before Him. He told Jesus, my daughter is dying. Jesus was his only hope. Jesus is our only hope, folks. Jesus is our only hope. If you got your Bible with you, our dear friend Lisa, she would post it. We're going to be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. And look what it says. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, and God, I always ask of you to look within my heart. If there's anything within me that I have not confessed to you throughout this day, please forgive me where I have fallen short, and cleanse me of any unrighteousness that's been in me before the start of this message. My aim is always to try to please you, because again, I'm reminded by scriptures, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I have to go strictly by faith. I have nothing else, Father. And I have hope in that faith. That hope is what's going to get me through whatever I am facing. So again, I'm sorry if I caused any sin or any bad thoughts towards you. And I ask for your forgiveness. I ask of you, those who are here tonight, bless them and be with them. Guide them, nurture them, and give them hope. There are others who used to come here. I don't know why they won't be here anymore. All I can do is have hope that maybe one day they will see truth and decide, you know what, maybe I need to be with fellowship with good brothers and sisters. So put a protective hedge around these folks here tonight, Father. Love them. Let them know that you are here. You always have been. You never have left us. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all seen the title. You know, and I put titles to all my messages. And the only one that was just coming to my mind, it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. And while I was seeing my friend going through all of her hurts and many others that I dealt with in this chat and many here in real life in this town, I was thinking when preparing this lesson, why is there so much hurt in this day and age today? Why is there so much hurt in this day and age today? And I think we can sit here and think till the cows come home, folks, searching for the answers. Trust me, in my 17 years as a minister, well, 17 years of being saved, the last 14 being a minister, I stand corrected, I have searched for that answer. Still to this date, I don't have one for you. But if you're like me, we know by heart what the Bible teaches us, that we suffer largely because of the fallen, broken, wounded, sinful nature of humanity. That's why we suffer. Even an Old Testament book of Job is one of the sources that Christians turn to for explanations to human suffering and pain. The book of Job is a stunning ancient text. It helps us engage with both conceptual problems of suffering and a human interpersonal gut level experiences. The misery of innocent, defenseless, and good people is a very real dilemma. And sometimes for us, it's hard to understand. It's hard to understand. Then, you know, I kept thinking, okay, but why? I just would like to know for once. Then it made me think, okay, why do we have to suffer because of this? Why do we have to suffer because of this? And you know what hit me? I started thinking about Jesus. You see, I've seen many people I talk to in this chat room, many people I talk to in real life, and I hear all their circumstances, all their problems. And I kid you not, the burden's on me because it's on my heart. Y'all may not think, oh, Jim's just saying that to try to get sympathy from people. No. I shoulder your pains and your hurts and your burdens. Because I'm the one standing here right now before you preaching a message. Trying to help you understand something. Or encourage you. Or lift you up. Or something. Or to give you answers that you say, well, Brother Jim, I need help. And half the time I sit here behind the screen, I'm like, I don't know what to say. But when I start thinking, why do we have to suffer because of this? Why? And like I said, I was brought to Jesus. And my mind went into thinking, why did Jesus have to suffer? Why did he? And then I wonder. And I wondered about this. I was trying to, you know, we heard the expression, put yourself in somebody else's shoes. Then I wonder at the time that he was suffering, I wonder how was he feeling? Have you ever thought about that? Instead of thinking about your own circumstances, have you ever thought about when Jesus was going through? What was his thoughts? What was he feeling? What was he thinking? How was he feeling when he was going through so much pain and hurt? The flogging he took, the beating. I was just reading on that study yesterday. I should have built one for you to show you. When the Roman soldiers were flogging him, it's like a long type of a whip. But it's big old round steel balls with hooks on the end of them. And that's how it was hitting them. And when they get onto the body, the hooks grab the flesh and the bone, and you just rip it right back off. He was suffering. Big time. And then my mind went back to my friend. I was thinking how hard it is for her and how hard it was for others who experienced some sort of hurts or pains or attacks in their lives. And then I started looking at scriptures to look for comfort and, better yet, answer to all these questions that was running around in my mind. Lord, I need answers. Show me. Show me in your word. And that's where I was led to our reading passage. And as I read that passage, my mind was focused on several things. As of late, my thoughts gave way to many of my friends who I know personally who are experiencing some sort of hurts in their lives. And when I read the passage, one of my thoughts was this, you know, and we get some weird thoughts that just poof, pop into the mind, right? See my voice? See how he wants to hit my voice? But as I was reading this passage, one of my thoughts were, Paul, are you crazy? Are you really crazy? What do you mean we should rejoice when we are faced with tribulations and trials? Paul, you don't know my pain. You don't know my hurts. You don't know my feelings. You don't know what I'm going through. How can we rejoice? Are you kidding me? And you want to tell me to rejoice? Dude, have you fallen off your rocker? You don't know what I have to go through, Paul. You don't know what I have to go through with my job, with my life, with my family members, even in my marriage. And how I have to rob from Peter to pay Paul just to keep things going. You don't know, and yet you want to tell me rejoice? And in light of all this, you mean to tell me that God is serious in his word, that in spite of all the pain that I am going through right now, I can actually rejoice while I am suffering these hardships? And as I sat here thinking about this passage and thinking about other people I know who are hurting so bad, facing hard times, dealing with battles, and I wrestled with this text. I wrestled with this text because all I can think of or think about was my trials and what I am going through, or even what my friends are going through. That's all I can think about. And as me and my wife talked about this subject, we both looked a little closer in scriptures. And here's what we were reminded, that God allows trials. Listen to this carefully. This is what we were reminded of when we searched in scriptures. That God allows trials to use them to develop Christ-likeness in us. He uses those trials, folks, to develop Christ-likeness in you and I. In other words, he uses them to make us who we are today. Either we're going to sink or swim. But he uses whatever circumstances we face in life to make us who we are today. Then he wants us to know they are good because they help build us up in three ways. That's right. The circumstances we face builds us up in three ways. The first way is perseverance. Or in other words, patience. As we grow, as we walk with the Lord, we are called to be overcomers, to persevere throughout whatever circumstances we're facing. But it teaches us patience, as we learn from our reading scriptures. And to persevere means, basically, this is what it means. It means to walk it out despite the pain and the hurts that we experience. We know the expression, sometimes it's harder said than done. And we know that pain brings about perseverance. And when we are face to face with difficulties, and I mean the bad experiences in life, Listen to this. It means that God is up to something. Bet you didn't think about that one, huh? When we are faced with some sort of circumstances in our lives, folks, it means that God is up to something. Again, Romans 5, 3 and 5. This is what it says, folks, right there in plain and black and white. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And our hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who He has given to us. See, the scriptures we just read, says, we know that suffering produces perseverance. So while we are persevering through our tribulation, notice what it does. It works patience within us. If only, and here's the if word, y'all hear me use this a lot. While we are persevering through tribulation, it works patience within us if only we're willing to endure it. Do you get that? It produces patience if only we are willing to endure it. Sure, you can just quit, walk away, have enough. Sayonara. Or you can let it work patience by enduring it to the very end. And we also learn that patience is a grace of which God is the author. So when the pains or hurts hits us, God is assuring us that He's got our backs by giving us our fruit to be able to persevere no matter how hard those curveballs are thrown at us. God allows the pains in our lives to teach us not to quit, but to persevere. And to keep pressing onward and don't look back. That's what persevering is all about, folks. To keep looking onward, to keep looking forward, never to look back. We know that song when we say, I decided to follow Jesus. And when we understand this, when we do this, we learn that God can be trusted throughout all of our trials. And because of perseverance is the greatest indication that our faith is genuine and it's real, no matter what others may tell us. Perseverance is your greatest proof that your faith is real. If you're not willing to endure it, you have no faith. Or very, very little faith. We know the scriptures when the gentleman cried out to the Lord, Lord, forgive me of my unbelief. Y'all heard me say, even Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. And if your faith is not where it's at, you're not pleasing the Lord. So the second thing that the hurt does for us, or trials, or tribulations, or whatever you call it, circumstances, the second thing that it does for us, it builds us up. It produces what I call strength of character. It produces strength of character. Now, I kind of got into a roadblock when I hit this one. I was thinking, huh? Okay, I get it. That the hurts that we deal with builds up character. It produces strength and character within us. Two things. But I had to think, okay, how do I explain it to the folks on Friday what character is all about? Sure, I can go get Webster's dictionary and read it out to you. I can solve that real quick. But what is character? What is it? Very simple. This is where I was drawn to. Character is who we are when no one is looking. I hope you caught that. Character is who we are when no one is looking. You see, as God produces in us greater fortitude and capacity to deal with more hardships, He brings out character. And character is the image of Christ that is present in us, being made clear. In essence, character means to expose the quality of what being tested. Character means to expose the quality of what's being tested. And because of this, we are blessed and highly favored throughout our pains and hurts and trials because our character is being redefined. So see, folks, being able to endure hard times builds character. You likely heard or said that at least once in your life when trying to be positive about something negative. You probably heard this before. When you ever heard something negative or dealing with something negative. Well, what that does, it builds character. But something that I have learned through the word tribulation. You see, a lot of times I like to try to read things in Latin. Why? Well, you got to understand how translations were done to modern day translations today. Many early translations we got done today was not correct. Many modern translations today is still not 100% correct for the English wording. That's why you got to go back to the original language. I don't suggest you try to read it because this occasion, boy, I still can't quite get it. You want to try something further? Go back and read Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke. Whew. But see, when I started looking up the word tribulation, a lot of us, we got in mind, we know what tribulation is. I don't think you do. I thought I did too till I found out what it really meant. And see, the word tribulation comes from a Latin word. It comes from a Latin word called tribulium. It almost sounds like something from Star Trek, like tribbles, huh? But no, tribulium. And what that meant, when you looked it up, when that really meant, what it was, and I had to do some digging on this, it was a heavy timber with spikes used for threshing grain. The tribulium was drawn over the grain. You know, it had like spikes and stuff in it, so that's what they did. They drew it over the grain. We can kind of think of a modern day rake. Close enough. But what it did, it drew over that grain. And what it did at that process, it separated the wheat from the tare. That's what it did. It separated all the wheat from the tare. Now this is making a little sense in our hurts and our pains and our sufferings, our tribulations, our character, and our hope. And I was drawn to this passage here in John chapter 12, verse 24. John chapter 12, verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of what fall into the ground and die," we spoke of this last night, "it abided alone. But if it died, it brings forth much fruit." You see, folks, as we go through the tribulium or tribulations, we pay close attention to this. When we go through these tribulations, these circumstances in our lives, we need to depend on God's grace. The trials, what they do, they only purify us and help us get rid of so-called labels. That's what they do. The stuff that you go through gets rid of so-called labels. And only a believer who's ever faced the pain of foreclosure, facing layoffs, facing your lights getting turned off, facing getting attacks from your family and your close friends, or face some sort of real hardship in their lives, can only persevere to allow their character to be strengthened. And what that does, that shows real character of who we are in Jesus Christ. And some of you know me very well. I go through a lot myself. And the best way I can describe, like a parable, I'm like a rubber ball. I bounce back. I bounce back. Because what that does to me, how it's helped me in the last 14 years. But in fact, in the last 17 years that I've been a born-again believer, what that has done is built character within me. Yeah, if I can draw it on myself, I can show you a lot of battle scars. And I think many of us here can tell us, we're elders in battles. Those of you who are youngins, let me tell you something. What you're facing is no different than what I face. The things you go through is no different than what I went through. We all are going through it. But I have character now because I'm willing to endure it. And I know it hurts. Oh, it hurts like you know what. Sometimes I feel like I just can't stand it. But I press on. I know what this world's trying to do. I know what my family members are trying to do. I know what co-workers are trying to do. I know what many other opposition against those of us who are in Christ is trying to do. But they're not going to have their field day with me. No. It may shake my branch a little bit. But I'm not going to give them the luxury to have defeat over me. And I learn and I grow and I develop character. Because again, our circumstances, the things we go through, makes you and I what we are. So the third thing that hurts does for us, it gives us hope. Third thing that hurts and pains and emotional distress, and everything else you can think of does for us besides building us up, giving us strength, and giving us character, it gives us hope. So when you look at perseverance plus strength of character, it leads to hope. 1, 2, 3. And hope is to have confidence and trust. Hope is to have confidence and trust. And in these tribulations, perseverance, strength of character, it produces genuine hope. And that hope is not no wishful thinking, but a firm assurance about the things that are unseen and still in the future. Hope comes only from God, who is hope. And a passage that I lean on all the time throughout my walk with the Lord, I quote this a lot to you. And I still lean on this passage no matter what of the things that I face. No matter how hard it may be. No matter what life throws at me. It's hope. And my hope comes from God because He says so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And that is burned into my mind. If you ever I had once in my shed, but those little wood irons, how you can burn things into wood, you know, like your names. I don't know if you ever messed with that. But that passage is burned in my mind because when I first became a Christian, I was all over the place. Up one day, down the next. Up one day, down the next. Up one week, down the next. I was going to my friends in church and everything else, and they said, "Oh, goodness, Brother Jim again? My God, that dude's just not getting it. He needs to understand that he's got to walk by faith. Good grief, what's wrong with this dude? Man, he's happy, go, go, joy, 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 for a couple of days, and bam, all of a sudden something goes wrong. He's coming unglued. Then you see him a couple weeks later, boy, he's up, you know, again, joy, joy, joy. And a couple days later, you see the poor cat's unglued again. My goodness, I struggled. I had a hard time. I said, why didn't someone tell me the walk with God was going to be so difficult? Why?" And the elderly couple that me and my wife talk to all the time, we still talk to them to this very day. I call them Ma and Pa because I look at them as my Ma and Pa. His name is Max, and he smiles at me and says, "Jim, you're just beginning in your walk. You got a lot to learn. And you're going to continue to learn. And it's never going to end. Get that through your thick skull, son." But I can say, over time, it gets better. Over time, you learn how to fight. Over time, you develop that attitude. Over time, you tell that enemy, "Get out of my face, you fool. Come on. You want a piece of me? Let's go at it." Sure, he may knock me down a few times, but you know what? I get right back up, said, "Round two. Come on." And if he knocks me down again, guess what? "All right. Round three, dude. I'm going to get you sooner or later." And that's when I was talking to my elderly friend. He said, "Jim, you have to study Hebrews 11:1 and take into account Hebrews 11:6 too." So when I read this passage, now faith is the assurance. And assurance means, hey, it's a fact, folks. The assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. But the reason why I got to use Hebrews 11:6 to tie this in, folks, because again, you know, some people don't like to hear this. And when I confront them, I say, "Okay, look, I've been listening to you and all your problems for quite a while. You're not walking by faith. You're not allowing your faith to overcome. You're not allowing yourself to persevere. You're allowed what other people say about you to affect you. You allow your circumstances to affect you. You allow everything around you to affect you. But you're not trusting in the one, the things that's unseen, the things that's hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. You're not believing in the assurance of God." Because again, that's why I got to use Hebrews 11:6. Because if you are dealing with all this, because it says so right there, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and He rewards those who seek Him." So your faith is the faith, is the assurance of things hoped for. So I hope My hope is God is going to do what God says he's going to do in accordance to his words. That's my hope. That's where my faith is at. This is where I persevere. This is where I stand up and fight. This is where I draw the line. I know this hurts, but we have to focus. Listen, we have to focus on our process and progress. You have to focus on your process and your progress instead of your pains. I call it as it is, but you keep focusing on that pain all the time. You keep focusing on the circumstances all the time, folks. You're going to have a hard time walking with the Lord. You got to get an attitude in Christ and develop that character in you to become what that circumstance is going to make you to become. And my brothers and sisters, if you hold on, if you stay on track, I don't care what that world is trying to tell us or say to us or do to us. I don't care about it. We are not in this world. We're not to be part of this world, but we are in this world. But we're not going to let the world affect us. If you do, your focus is misplaced somewhere. My focus is on the power of Christ himself. Because of him, we are stronger. We're stable. We're not up and down like a yo-yo. Wee hoo, wee hoo, up down, up down, up down. Woo! Hey, woo! Hey, woo! Hey, woo! Nah, folks, you gotta understand. Your faith is in Christ. Your hope is in Christ. He's already endured it. He's already overcame. He's done it at the cross. It ended at the cross. We are made stronger because of him. We are stable because of him. And we are confident because of Jesus. We have that assurance. How do I know this? God promised us this in the midst of our trials in accordance to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And look what it says. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, developing and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. There's your proof in the pudding. So no matter what you are facing in your life, no matter. And even though, yes, it does hurt. My friends, God has already worked it out. Ooh, what? Did I hear that right, Jim? That's right, folks. No matter what you are facing, no matter what you are going through, no matter how hard your circumstances may seem to you, you need to understand this important fact. God has already worked it out. But, most pastors don't like to use the word but. It's up to us to go through it. It's up to us to go through it. If you're willing. So in closing, folks, I'm going to leave y'all with this. As Christians, we have faith in a person, God. Our faith is not in our circumstances. Our faith is not in friends. Our faith is not reading some self-help book. Our faith is not in ice cream and brownies and potato chips and candy and binge eating. Nope, 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 nope. Our faith is in a person called God. Faith in and of itself is meaningless, but faith in a all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful God means everything to us. Because He, my friends, is the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. God never changes. We do. And look, I get it. I understand many of you are in trenches of seemingly impossible situations. It just seems like, well, Jim, you just don't understand what I'm going through. Well, like I told you earlier in the beginning of the message, when I read our reading scriptures, I was telling Paul the same thing. Paul, you don't understand what I'm going through, this dude. You said that almost 2,000 years ago, but you don't understand the situation today. Yes, God does, because He never changes. We do. See, many of us seem like we're going through impossible situations, bearing the weight of heavy burdens on our backs. God cares about your struggles, folks. But keep this in mind. Where's God when it hurts? He cares about your struggles, but where's God when it hurts? You want the really cool answer? He's still in the same place He's always been. God never moved. Why should we let our circumstance move us? If God is still standing where He's always been from the beginning, and He will be to the end, then why should we move? Now the question remains, if God takes pleasure in us, okay, why do the innocent suffer? If God takes pleasure in us, why do the innocent suffer? Now, you remember what I said a little bit when my mind went to Jesus? I started thinking about Him, what maybe He was thinking that day, being whipped and beaten and spit at, His beard hair being ripped out of His face, stripped naked, mocked. Then He had to carry that big old cross. And I'm telling you something, folks, that was not no regular 2x4 that He was carrying, no. I don't know how many of you know railroad tracks, but that was the size of those beams, longer and heavier, and He had to carry that all the way to Golgotha. And been made fun of and spit at throughout those little streets that He was walking through. And He was still being beaten. And His flesh and wounds and everything else was opened on His body. Losing all His blood. But He still was pushing forward. He was taking that burden for us. He was persevering. But as I said, okay, well, if God takes pleasure in us, then why do the innocent suffer this day? The answer is because God suffers. That's right. Because the Bible shows us a God who is not distant from human suffering. God Himself suffers. and he suffers greatly. Jesus experienced profound suffering, and they were this. Like I mentioned a few of them. But he experienced suffering far beyond you can imagine. And they were A, physical pain. He hungered. He was weary. The flogging he took before the crucifixion and the crucifixion itself. That was no walk in the park. I'll suggest some of you go get stuff nailed through your feet and your hands and your ribs or whatever, but no, you couldn't endure it. He suffered emotional pain. We know this because he wept for Lazarus. He grieved for the fall of his people. He knew there were sinners, so he knew he had to persevere. He knew he had to go forward. And he also suffered mental and spiritual pain, such as his agony in the garden. And if you read scriptures, you know what he's doing. He was in such agony, he was sweating blood. And not to mention the torment he endured on the cross. Look, folks, God cares. God cares because in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says this. Consequently, he is able to save the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. And we know that Jesus identifies with innocent sufferers because he himself was an innocent sufferer. I just got through reading that this morning. Jesus done no wrong, and yet he had to suffer for us. So he was innocent. Paul describes Christ as our intercessor in heaven who deeply understands, shares, and experiences our sufferings because he himself has also suffered. And since God's presence is with us when we suffer, he may use suffering to draw us to Christ, to develop in us Christian maturity, and to accomplish his purpose. God himself is a suffering God. He is a crucified God. God won't know the end of his pain and heartbreak over our sufferings until the restoration of all things through Christ, when the grand scheme of things is brought to one final climactic end. We are not alone in the pain, for when we suffer, he suffers with us. And I'm sitting right here at this particular point, okay, I'm getting this now, thank you. And I'm glad that I have learned some things myself. And I was thinking, okay, here's what C.S. Lewis once wrote. I love how he says this. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a dead world. And then he went on to say that suffering can lead us to humility and dependency on God. Wow, good words. So take this to heart tonight, my friends. Bottom line, the righteousness and innocent sufferer may find hope and peace in trusting God, if not answers to their painful questions. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 through 11 says this. And I like how he puts it, my brother Peter. And he says, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Do you get this, my dear friends, here tonight? regardless of your circumstances, regardless of everything, regardless of all that I have said tonight, folks, Christ himself will restore you. He will confirm you. He will strengthen you, and he will establish you. Wow. See, folks, the Christian God is a crucified God. He is a suffering God. He takes pleasures in us, and he presents with us. I got that spelled wrong. He is a suffering God. He is a crucified God. He takes pleasure in us, and he is present with us in our sufferings. The Christian God has suffered and continues to suffer. But he is also the resurrected and returning God who offers the hope of the new creation and the restoration of all things. His glory will be revealed in us. Suffering only makes sense in the light of the final chapter. That's right, suffering only makes sense in light of the final chapter, the restoration of all things, the end of the age, and Jesus Christ. And last but not least, you and I will suffer in this life. Not to sound crude or rude, but if you or gone through some sort of circumstances, build a bridge and get over it. Get yourself an attitude in Christ. Place your hope where hope belongs and not other things around you. Because the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us in the end of our age. When you and I breathe our very last, oh man, we are going to rejoice because then we're going to see his true glory. And what a day that will be. What a day. Amen. Let's pray.